This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's July 28th, episode 964, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Good Monday morning. I hope everybody is feeling as spry and excitable as I. Me, I'm not. Sorry. Glenn, I know you're not feeling great this morning
either.
I'm not
feeling spry either. So you're looking forward to a good show today, people.
Well, the problem is, yeah, exactly. The problem is Chad, my dear sweet husband, left this morning to fly to San Antonio, Texas to buy the car that he already pretty much bought online. He did do the Carfax. Everybody, thanks for chiming in. And he actually put a refundable deposit on it. So he is being smart about it. But he left this morning. His flight was at 5 a.m. So he left, and the car...
Didn't
he
just get home from his trip?
Yeah, he got home Saturday. So
Jamie, have you thought about something? Have you thought about something? Maybe he doesn't like being home with you? Do you think that's what I'm starting to see here?
I think he's flying home to his other wife. And then if he wasn't driving home a big fancy new dually, this would be a problem, Glenn, but I'll take it. But, yeah, he's gone, and he left this morning the super shuttle. He was like, can you drive me to the airport? I was like, hell to the no. At 2 a.m., you're crazy. So we called Super Shuttle, and somehow Super Shuttle had my phone number on record, and they kept calling, going, we're 5 minutes out, we're 2 minutes out, we're here. And I'm like, stop calling me. I'm trying to sleep. So I've been up since about 2 o'clock this morning because I couldn't go back to sleep after he called.
So you could have taken him to the airport.
I could have. I've been awake since then. Why the hell not? So the little man is sleeping. I have nobody here to help me with the baby, so I'm going to do as much of the show as I can. But I hope we get to the end because we've got something really, really cool, and Jennifer's going to tell us about that.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, once we have covered the weekend results from a variety of equine sports, some of them rather surprising, the Wacky World of Horse Nation counts down some hilariously horsey top 10 or 12 lists, and then rounding out our Monday audio montage, as referenced just now by Jamie, we will have a quick visit with Bev Kaufman, who has just sent her horse-crazy daughter off to the ultimate 10-day horse camp in Mongolia.
Death camp.
Stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Didn't she hear the lady who won last year was on our show last year, the English woman? Didn't she hear her talk about how sick everybody got and everything? She mustn't have listened to that show, or she would have never let her daughter go.
So we'll touch base there about the Mongol Derby. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Joanne Eaton Strauss, who is Robin Donahue, who you've heard on the show a number of times, out of Texas, her mom, who posted that, and I mentioned it on Friday, but it's gone crazy since then. Remember she posted that quilt that she made out of Robin's ribbons and it was this beautiful quilt made out of all our ribbons she'd won at horse shows. Well, it has had over 2,000 shares. It was the biggest post we've had all month. So hopefully we're trying to get her on the show on Wednesday. She said she might be able to join us Wednesday morning. So Joanne might join us to talk about how she did it. And, you know, is this something that any ordinary person can do, or do you actually have to have experience sewing? So we'll try and get her on the show. Yeah, it went crazy. I mean, it just went crazy. And now other people have started posting pillows that they have made out of ribbons and other quilts. Apparently this is a thing and we didn't even know it. So
yeah. Well, all of us have the same problem. We're all trying to figure out what the hell to do with all these ribbons besides hang them on the ceiling around the room, you know. So, no, that's really, really cool. I'm hoping that I can send her a swatch of them, you know, and get her to make me a quilt.
She did post that she's already had a couple people ask her to make quilts. So, and I'm sure it's not cheap. I mean, can you imagine the amount of hours that goes into making one of those things, sewing each, taking those ribbons apart and sewing each little one on? Ugh, what a mess. All right, your turn.
Well, I have two. Let's start with the horsey one, which is the event at Rebecca Farm took place this past weekend, and which is apparently a bucket list horse trial for everybody. And a lot of people from Arizona go, and a lot of people from California go. And I was looking through the final scores, and you know Tamara Smith, who we have on the show all the time?
Yeah, yeah.
So Tamara, they have a one-star, a two-star, a three-star division, two-star divisions, advanced. They have all the way up to 6 novice divisions, 5 training divisions, 2 training 3 days. I mean, this is a monster horse trial. There's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horses there. And I started looking through the results. Tammy Smith came in first place for the one-star. And then they have 2 training 3-day divisions, the training A and training B. She won both. Like, good God. She won both of them and won another division. How many of us just try to win one horse trial in our life? And then I noticed that James Atkinson won a training division and won the advanced division. I mean, you like when you win a training division, usually like at Galway, you get a saddle. Do you think Tamara Smith won a couple saddles? It's like a Western horse show. She goes home with a couple saddles, a bunch of prizes, some money.
Buckles, a car. Yeah,
buckles,
cool.
A car. Lisa, hey,
I have I have a quick question about Rebecca Farm, Jamie. Is the training 3-day a – maybe expound upon that, what the 3-day part of that division title means to people.
A training 3-day is like the long format. So this morning is what I'm thinking. The training 3-day format is where you do the trot set as A and then the steeplechase as B and then you do another trot set at C and then D, then you go out on cross country. So they don't really do them for the advanced anymore.
That's really funny. The ultimate test for horse and rider is no longer available at the international level, but it is available at training.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's just because people wanted to do it, and it's not popular to do it in the 3-star division or 4-stars anymore, so they do the short formats for the 4-star. They make the cross-country courses a little more technical, but they do it for the training level ones, which are very popular now. And, yeah, she just won both. 2 divisions, I'll win both. So she's absolutely amazing. And then James Atkinson to win a couple of them. We've had him on the show a ton. So congratulations to both of those guys and everybody who went and competed.
So what I'm hearing is between James Atkinson and Tammy Smith, they're going to have enough ribbons from this weekend to do a quilt.
Yes. That is correct. That is correct. And Holly Bennett, of course, won a novice division, but also was in the 3-star with Jen and Juice to prepare for, the World Equestrian Games. And I think she came in like 3rd or 4th. So she did very well, too. And congratulations to everybody who made it through that, apparently. Oh, the same guy, Matthew Brown, won the 3-star and the 2-star. And I love Matthew Brown, which I don't know much about. I'm going to have to learn more about him. I didn't recognize that name.
Never heard
Matthew
of him.
Brown his horse that won the 3-star is named Super Socks. I love that. Super Socks. So congratulations to Matthew Brown, too. Next,
we're
going
to have to find out more about him. I never heard of him.
We got to get him on the show. Matthew Brown.
Huh. Okay. Well, let's hear your
Winnie. I got a Winnie. There. Oh, to be an Atlanta Brave. It was a great weekend for fans of the team. And I just have to mention this. My brother actually went. They did the Cooperstown Hall of Fame inductions this weekend, and you might as well have not shown up unless you were a fan of the Braves. Because the three people that were inducted to the Hall of Fame, Bobby Cox, who managed the Braves for like 15 years, just retired a couple years ago. Then you've got Tom Glavine. And you've got Greg Maddux, who, by the way, are my two favorite players of all time. I'm so excited for them. So, yes, Bobby Cox, Tom Glavine, and Greg Maddux all inducted to the Hall of Fame. They go on the Wall of Fame at Cooperstown. They did all these, like, they do these really beautiful plaques, and they make their busts out of, you know, copper or whatever. It looks like, it's just beautiful. They got to go, and apparently their speeches were fantastic. The induction ceremony was televised. It was a great weekend. Apparently the whole crowd broke out in an impromptu tomahawk chop and chant. Thousands of Braves fans were there. It was a great day, great weekend. They did a parade. It was really, really cool. Hank Aaron was in the parade. It was a great weekend for Atlanta Braves. There you go. I'm done.
Have you ever been to the Hall of Fame up there in Ohio?
No, this is the one in New York. This is Cooperstown,
New York. Okay,
that's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Ohio. Close.
Now, which one
Very
did we
close.
Go by? Which one did we go by, Jennifer, when we went to see Jackie Baker? What Hall of Fame is that in Columbus?
That's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah. I'm getting it mixed up with something else. Okay. Maybe it's a football. Could be football.
Now,
is there a football one there, too?
There might be a football one.
Now I
need to get down to the details, because as we talked about on Friday, Glenn, there was a bunch of really awesome horse races this weekend. There was the Monmouth Cup.
Football Hall of Fame is in Canton, Ohio. I knew there was one there. We drove by it. Okay, sorry.
You're not totally crazy, just mostly crazy.
I knew there was one there. All right.
So there was a bunch of horse races. There was the Monmouth Cup, which Pants on Fire was running. He's 6 years old, and he was running against a bunch of 3- and 4-year-olds. He ended up coming in third. A horse named Valid and Bradster came in first and second. Then there was the Jim Dandy Stakes, which was a prep for the Travers. And Tonalist was in it, Wicked Strong, Commanding Curve, Kid Cruise, all those horses that we saw in the Triple Crown races. Well, it ended up being Wicked Strong, who won that one. So Wicked Strong gets a victory. And then on Sunday was one of the Win and You're In Breeders' Cup Classic races. And it was the Haskell, and Untappable with your girlfriend, Rosie Napravnik, was the 1-to-1 favorite, odds-on favorite, to win the entire thing. So we have that race. So let's play it. This is the Haskell Stakes. Win and You're In to the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Ready for a start in the William Hill Haskell. And they're off. And Social Inclusion stumbled coming out of the gate. Untappable got away well. Byron straight to the front. Byron out to be the leader on the outside. Wildcat Red is out in second. Albano's up close in third. And here comes Social Inclusion, emerging from the pack on the outside and then takes over third as they race for the clubhouse turn. It's Byron in front. Wildcat Red second and outside. Social Inclusion, three wide into that turn from third. Albano with a great spot, saving ground down inside fourth. Encryption is covered up in fifth as they move around the first turn. Untappable stuck three wide. She's inching up into fifth after first quartering 23-2. And then it's just Call Kenny racing about five lengths off the lead inside a metal count who is also wide around the first turn. And three lengths back to Irish UL at the back of the pack. Down the Monmouth Park backstretch. Byron's in front with five furlongs to go. Wildcat Red sticking right with Byron so far. Second on the outside. And right there, Byron lets it out just a bit. Opens up to lead by two with a half mile to go. Social Inclusion on the outside in third after a half in 47-3. Then it's Albano down inside racing fourth. Untappable, Rosina Pravnik. There she goes. Untappable's on the move now. Four wide on the far outside. Just Call Kenny's following her. Encryption down inside. Metal Count, the whip is out. He's not gaining ground. Pass by Irish UL as they come outside the quarter pole, where Byron's in front of a Haskell. Byron off the turn. Wildcat Red, Social Inclusion. Untappable swings four wide for the stretch drive. And then it's Albano, top of the lane. And Byron has kicked it into gear. Byron opens up to lead by four. Byron by five. Untappable gaining no ground. Down inside it's Albano. Into the final 50 yards. And Byron is gone in the Haskell. Byron wires the field. Seven lengths on the wire. And then it was Albano in second. Wildcat Red, Untappable in a photo for fourth with Iris Uel.
Wow. She was not there. Byron ran an amazing race. I said, when we were watching it, I'm like, there's Chad's like, I'm taking that horse, Byron. And I said, there's no way. He can't run that distance. It's too long for him. Well, I was wrong. He was right. And Byron was amazing. Did you watch it?
Yeah, he just was going away. I mean, he was wire to wire. He was leading the whole thing. And then at the end, he just flew. And the others weren't even close. I mean, it was, what, nine lengths or something. It was just incredible. And had I heard of this horse before? I mean, it sounds...
Byron, yeah, he was in the Derby. He was in the Derby and the Preakness,
still,
I believe, and he
didn't
do very well.
Yeah, didn't do much. He's coming on his own now.
He got stuck, I guess, a couple in the races. But what I thought was interesting was, you know, Rosie Napravnik, who Untappable won the Oaks with Rosie. And before the race, she was like, it's our race. And she goes out and she won it. And it was definitely their race. Well, this is Untappable's first race with the boys, and what she's been kind of touted as the next Zenyatta. So she's going to run against the boys and she's going to beat the boys. And they interviewed Rosie before the race, and you know, Rosie's been off for a while because she had that shoulder injury, and they're saying, oh, Rosie, you know, since you've been on her, since you've been back from your injury, what do you think? She's like, she's twice as good. Came across as rather full of herself, and then gets her butt kicked. So I was kind of bummed that Rosie didn't take the, you know, there's a lot of good horses in the race. I'm hoping that she does well. No, she was so confident, just like she was for the Oaks. So maybe that was a little bit of a kick in the shin that she needed to just tone that confidence back just a little bit. And, I mean, I don't know if that's going to help your ride, but it sure can't hurt. So we shall see. But your girl, sorry about your girl, Glenn.
Sounds like Rosie needs to take a PR class, huh? Maybe the agent will be sending her to a PR class. You don't brag about the race though after you've won it, because then it just makes you look arrogant. So,
yeah.
You know,
and
all the success is going to her head. You know,
I know, right? Mm-hmm. She is very successful, but I kept waiting for them to interview her afterwards, and they're like, "And we're wrapping our coverage. Bye bye." Like,
yep,
I got
Rosie,
no post.
Rosie's hiding in
interview.
The back. All of a sudden, Rosie disappeared. She's not here anymore.
Yeah. Sure did.
Well,
so
an exciting weekend, and that means that this Byron? How do you say the name?
Byron. It looks like Byron, but they pronounce it Byron.
So be in the Breeders' Cup Classic for sure.
Yes, that was a win, and you're in race. And the purse was a cool $1 million. So
not too bad.
He did pretty well. Yeah, not too bad. Jeez.
Too bad. Well, good. Good show. Hey, you know, Jennifer spent some time this morning. We haven't done this in a long time. Putting together, and we haven't really talked about too many horse rescue stories, but every once in a while, Jennifer puts together the rescue list from the last month, Jennifer. These are the ones you could find from the last month. So it's just the headlines from the different rescues over the last month. And you're going to see which country is leading the way this time. It changes on a regular basis. But, okay, Jennifer, let's hear it.
Well, no, of course, to set it up, we're talking about horses that basically try to kill themselves on our own property.
Yes. Right. Yes. Getting stuck.
The old adage that a horse's life's ambition is to try and kill himself. We've got the top three. And it tied in third place, India and Canada, each with one. Each one in a river and one in the roadside ditch. In second place, the United States of America comes in second. We had one horse in a sinkhole in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and a horse in a pond in Florida.
Okay.
And
by the way, that's dangerous, a horse in a pond in Florida, because we do have alligators.
And this is by far, this kind of went off like the Haskell race you guys were just talking about. Way, way, way out in front. The United Kingdom with nine horses trying to kill themselves doing stupid things. Yes.
So what do we have in the United Kingdom? We had, read the headlines to us.
Well, we've got a horse stuck in a bramble-covered ditch in Buckerell.
Ooh, that hurts.
Buckerell Cross, yes. A horse stuck in a muddy river in Eccleshall. This is a good one here. A horse stuck under a sewage pipe in Thornton.
They do that.
Uh-huh. And continuing that underneath theme, underground bunker in Yorkshire, which we reported on earlier this month.
Yeah, we saw that.
The horse that fell in the hole and
they
had to cut him out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, we have a canal in Doncaster, a subtle difference between canal and river. Thank you very much. And again, a river in Bolney this time. Water-filled ditch in Somerset. We're combining ditch and water this time. Another ditch in Camel's Head. And at last, a bog in Hampshire. And I think the only place a horse can get stuck in a bog is in the U.K. I don't think anybody else has
in the U.K.,
bogs.
Yeah. We have swamps.
Well, there may be a bunch of things to kill horses, but there is a reason to live in Great Britain. Okay, and that is because there's something new happening at their local supermarkets. Okay, if you live in England, you want to go to the supermarket chain Aldi, A-L-D-I, because, you guys, check this out. They have launched at this British supermarket. We're talking grocery store. They're going to be selling equestrian clothing, jodhpurs, breeches, you know. They're going to be selling half price gear, basically paddock boots, polo shirts, riding socks, jodhpurs, and they're saying that this is half the price that you would pay at any other store. So you can get basically paddock boots for $12.99 in euro dollars. So a child's polo shirt would be $12. Just awesome. So there is a reason to live in Great Britain. You can get yourself a new pair of pants once you've dirtied your other ones from falling in a muddy bog.
Is this the same Aldi that we have over here that you buy the cheap groceries over here?
I don't know. I thought that name looked familiar, but
we have them here on the East Coast. I just didn't know they were worldwide. I always thought that was just the United States thing, but maybe not. Anyway, somebody can let me know. I've been getting texts helping me out here this morning on Facebook from our listeners. Maybe somebody can tell us that, too. Oh, you know what? It is a German company. It's based out of Germany, and it has branches all over the world. So there you go. And they're known, Jamie, for selling cheap
supermarket chain.
Yeah, they're known for selling cheap, like canned goods stuff. It's usually a pretty small store. So, I wonder if they'll start doing that in the United States. You'll be able to, I wonder what brand they're selling. Aldi brand breeches.
It specializes
in Aldi brand everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they're going to be selling them that cheap, it's probably it's from Aldi's equestrian range.
It just sounds funny. Anybody shopping at Aldi, it sounds funny. Aldi is known for, Jamie, you have to put a quarter in to get your shopping cart because they want you to return the they only have two people that work in the store, the whole grocery store. And there's like a checkout person and a stocker, and that's it. And then you have to put a quarter in to get your shopping cart, and then when you put your shopping cart back, you get your quarter back because they don't want shopping carts all over the parking lot. And then you bring your own bags. They don't give you bags. So you have to bring your own bags. And if you use their bags, they charge you like 20 cents or 25 cents each for their bags. So everything is like self-service, self-shopping. So when you think about that and then think about them selling riding clothes under an Aldi brand, it's kind of funny for those of us that have shopped there.
Absolutely. Now, are you one of the kind of people that puts their grocery – this is a great question for Facebook. Do you put your grocery shop cart back into the thing, or do you just leave it next to your car?
No, I put it back in the thing because it drives me crazy that people leave it next to the car.
I know. You know, when Lucas was an infant and I had to go to the grocery store, you have to weigh the options of, do I leave my baby in a car, in a hot car, and go put the shopping cart back, or do I leave it right here and get in the car and drive away? And I must say that a couple times, because I'm like, you know, I could either get defects out here to Child Protective Services for getting me leaving a baby in a hot car, or I leave the shopping cart. I'm going to go with the shopping cart. But now that he's older, I can turn on the air conditioner and I can, you know, I actually try to park near the shopping cart return.
That's
so
what
I
do now.
Far.
I park right beside it. That's what I do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
It's just easier now, that way.
The problem with that is I have a couple dings in my car from parking beside it because people aren't too careful when they go to put it away and sometimes miss. You know where we see it here because we get the torrential rains every day is we in the afternoons, if you go to a Walmart after a torrential rain, the carts are everywhere because people just leave them. You know, they unload into their car and just leave them and go. So you see that a lot. By the way, Uta has checked in and said we had an Aldi in Germany. So they are worldwide. Thank you, Uta.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about this? These horse attacks in Nebraska, of all places? They've been
what?
Having a vets have been having horses brought in with severe cuts, and I mean, I saw some of these pictures and they're gross. There's stuff when they're posted on my Facebook page. I put hide this post because I don't want to look at them. So in the center of Nebraska, which by the way, I didn't even know they had mountain lions in Nebraska, but what's happened is there's been three separate horses that were cut in separate incidents over the July 4th weekend, and they think it's mountain lions. One had a belly that was gashed open, a neck had the picture I saw was a neck with a deep cut to the muscle in the neck. And the vets are saying, yeah, they're seeing these come in, and the only thing they can really attribute it to is mountain lions. This one guy who trains performance horses said something spooked his horses. He has a 30-acre pasture, and his dogs went nuts. Well, he said that's not uncommon. You know, they'll bark at a gopher going through the field. So but he went out the next morning and realized two of his horses were bleeding, and he checked them out, and he said it's just not consistent with them getting cut on the fence or anything like that. These were definitely cut, you know, by looked like an animal claw. So they brought them to the vet, and the vet said, oh, yeah, we've been having a number of these coming in. Wow, that's not something you think about every day is mountain lions attacking your horses.
It just depends on where you live. I know you wouldn't think it up there, but I know that I have friends that have horses in Wyoming, and every once in a while they'll have one of the horses come in that's been gored by a buffalo. I'm like,
ooh,
really? I said, how does a horse get gored by a buffalo? So horse is out grazing, buffalo's out grazing, and the horse just, you know, keeps eating and not really paying attention because they start to get really used to the buffalo and they start grazing. They get closer and closer and closer to said buffalo, and buffalo finally goes close enough and rams them with their head. So they always get gored like in their belly or in their shoulder or in their chest, like somewhere low because they've gotten too close grazing to the buffalo. So that's what happens. It just depends on where you live. Here we got snakes and scorpions. My God. It's a nightmare. But buffalo is worse, and mountain lion certainly takes the cake.
Well, you know, welcome to Happy Monday talking about goring and mountain lion. Welcome
right.
to Monday. Welcome to Monday talk. Well, you know, speaking of animals and things, we went, and I don't know if you've ever seen, you've probably gone to aquariums before. We went to the Tampa Aquarium over the weekend, and I saw something I had never seen before. It was the coolest, I wanted to tell you about it, because it was the coolest animal, and we've been to a number of aquariums. We used to go to Baltimore Aquarium all the time, and that's a really good aquarium. And, you know, we've been to a number of them. I've never seen one of these before in my life, and that is a leafy, what are they called, Jennifer? What was that name of them? A leafy seahorse. They're seahorses that look like they have leaves growing all out of them. They were the
I gotta
most
Google
exotic
that.
coolest thing. Look up Leafy Seahorse. It was the coolest animal I've ever seen in my life. And,
oh,
and
wow.
You see them? They had a number of them there. And it was, you know, all the aquariums we've been to, I have never seen one of those before. It's just the most bizarre, exotic-looking thing. It was incredible. I just had to say that.
It looks like a horse you took on a trail ride and you got stuck in the woods and you got stuck in a bunch of trees and the branches broke off and stuck to your horse. That's what they look like. That's crazy.
Camouflage here. We couldn't see them in the tank because they just blended right into the leaves and stuff. I said, well, there they are. And then it started moving. It was like crazy. I mean, seahorses are really interesting anyway, but wow. Yeah, Leafy Seahorse was the highlight of my day yesterday, the Leafy Seahorse.
That's pretty cool. We go to the aquarium. There's a zoo right by my house, and Lucas and I go all the time because they have an aquarium, and I call it my free air conditioning because it's 115 degrees here. You want to go somewhere that's cold, and every one of the indoor aquarium buildings is really cold, so I'm like, free AC, buddy, let's go. That's what we do. But, hey, our first guest is on the line. We've got Leslie from Horse Nation, and I think I found my favorite post ever, and the comments were almost better than the actual post. Leslie, good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
Your post about 10 true equestrian confessions, I was laughing out loud. Tell everybody what this is.
Oh, man. One of our writers, Amanda Ronan, she sort of made a list of things that, you know, she does, confessions, things that she does that probably would be frowned upon by non-horsey people, but seem kind of normal to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had readers chime in just from all over the place, confessing their own secret horsey sins.
Some of the things that Amanda wrote, if my horse has a cut, temperature just seems a little off, we rush him to the vet, but we never go to the doctor ourselves. Another one is, you know, I've used a brush that I've groomed with on my own hair. Well, that was like a gimme. I've done that like a million times. Your legs.
Hey, wait a minute. I got to go back to the first one you did. Is that a picture of her face? Is that her?
That is a picture of her face. Yeah. I don't know how she got so busted up, but she's got, I mean, her face is like busted up in this picture. And she has broken ribs at the same time. It looks like she was in a fight.
But, I mean, it was
awful. either a horse or a bar fight, definitely.
That hurt.
But she said for herself, even though she, you know, she feels she calls the vet for any little thing with her horse, in this case, she couldn't justify a trip to the doctor for herself.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, she doesn't have any teeth left.
That's pretty typical, I think. I'll have like one doctor's visit for every, you know, 30 vets for my horse.
Exactly. Well, I was looking at, you know, a lot of them are pretty easy. Like, I share carrots, you know, with my horse. Like, I'll take it by the apple, he'll take it by the apple, I'll take it by the apple, that kind of stuff. Like, that goes on. But what really amazed me was the confessions that people made. And not to jump to the big one, but there was one individual lady that I think went across the line. Okay, people talked about, you know, showering in wash dolls and mm-hmm. you know, sharing treats with their horses and using Shoshin in their own hair, very basic things. And Glenn, I want to get your opinion. I think this person needs an intervention. The lady that says she's actually used a hoof pick to clean out her own teeth.
Oh! Oh, no, that's wrong.
I didn't even see that one. That is hilarious.
That woman is single and will be forever.
Not any of these grossed me out except for that one. The one was like,
Unless, of course, she's a listener to the show, then she's wonderful. Uh-huh. Oh, that's correct.
Exactly. Yeah. And other people that said they were cleaning the stalls and they got it perfect, and then they saw one little turd in there, so they just grabbed it with their hand.
Yeah, there's one – there. We had a ton of comments on Facebook as well. There was one woman who took it to the next level and said she said, I spent forever picking out every tiny turd in the stall. I put away the rake and bucket, only to come back and find a huge nugget that was hiding. Not wanting to go back for the rake, I grabbed it with my bare hand and flung it out the window. 5 minutes later, I caught myself eating a cookie with the same unwashed hand. We've all been there. There were a couple of people who confessed to sneaking their husband's beard trimmers to the barn and using them on their horse's face.
Oh, yeah.
So clippers are
for. Oh, yeah. Is this the one you're talking about? Use the hoof pick to get beef jerky out of my tooth. Or is this a totally different person?
That's so disgusting. And I just started thinking of, thrush, you know, when you pick out a really nasty black hoof with thrush in it and then sticking that in your mouth. Oh,
the whole, that's just gross. That is probably what – I wasn't expecting that, Jamie. I really wasn't.
I about fell out of my chair when I watched that.
Let me clarify. 30 years ago, when Jennifer and I met, if I had seen her do that, I'd have been out of there. That would have been gone. I would not have hung around for that.
That would have been a good call, Glenn. That would have, because you could never kiss somebody like that because you're thinking of course thrush. Oh, gross.
These are all so funny. Drinking out of the trough, peeing in stalls. How about sticking inappropriate things, hands, bits, wet wipes down your breeches to warm them in the winter.
Ew!
Using MSM gel on your own injuries.
Well, I think we've all used every horse thing on our injuries. I mean, every horse thing there is has been used on humans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Bailing twine belts, reins as belts.
I have to say, though, I would never drink out of my horse's water bucket. That's kind of gross.
Ew.
Oh.
They must really
come out of the hose, but not out of the water bucket. Ugh.
What about the water trough? Does it seem like? Little,
oh, that's even worse. It's got all that green slimy stuff in it.
Oh. Oh, well.
They might have put fish in it, Glenn, to keep it clean. So, really, not that bad. I mean, geez.
Yeah, just don't poop in the water, no.
Oh,
hey, I
so
got
it.
All right, let's go on. We got a couple others. You had so many fun posts this week. There were a couple others, and they were mostly lists that were really good this week. The 12 things I wish I knew before starting an equine business, and having started several equine businesses, I was reading over this and going, yep, I agree with every one of these. And, you know, people, especially people who want to start, like, boarding stables or training businesses, who just go, you know, I'm just going to do it. They don't give any thought to a business plan or any plan. Let's not even just call it limited to a business plan. Any plan. They just start doing it, you know, and we all do it. We all have done it in the past. If you've started your own business, we've all done it non-professionally. And the ones who make it are the ones who do it professionally. The ones who don't are the ones who don't do it professionally. But who wrote this article? What was the verdict?
It was Carla Lake sort of compiled, she surveyed several people who are in the horse business, various aspects of horse business, about their experiences and, you know, things that they wish they had known, you know, when they got started, things that they learned the hard way. And so there's kind of a collection of different tips from different businesses.
There were a couple of them that jumped out at me. One is have a business plan. That was the first one. And I would say, you know, have somebody that knows something about business help you create a business plan if you've never done one before. But one of the other ones in here, and it's the most important one on the list, is even though you're in a horse business, you need people skills. And, you know, that's a misnomer. You're not in the horse business. You're in a people business because the horses are not writing the checks. The horses are not paying you cash. You're getting paid by the people. You really are in the people business first, the horse business second. I think that's the one that gets lost, is it is a people business. It's not a horse business. Would you agree with that, Jamie?
Oh, absolutely. How many times have we gone to, well, I've gone to several times when I'm going to visit a boarding facility to see if it's a place I would like to keep my horse. And I get in the car and I'm like, nope, that person's crazy. You just never know. They're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you posted one in here too, Leslie, charge what you're worth. That is also one that's real tough because, again, you think, okay, I'm going to charge $25 for a lesson because I know I can get a lot of those, instead of charging $40 for a lesson, which is what it's really worth. The same with board. When we were had the boarding business, we had one of our working students keep track of everything for an entire month. I mean, every minute she spent doing stuff, cleaning stalls, every bit of hay, every bit of grain, she tracked everything. And when we figured it all out, we would have made more as the owners working at McDonald's. When we came down to figuring it all out, by the hour, we would have made more working at McDonald's than we were doing the boarding business. And
yeah.
Something, you know, we all know maybe that numbers aren't great, but we keep doing it anyway because we like being in, quote, unquote, the horse business. So
Yeah. Well, at least we're happy. It's more fun than McDonald's, so.
Yeah. You know, peanut butter and jelly is good. Why not?
Yeah.
We can't afford to eat it.
Oh, man, I lived on crystals when do you have crystals where you guys are? Or White Castle?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Crystals,
for like a meat-like substance. Yeah.
So you did.
Honey bun.
You did
so
well.
Like,
you weren't living on
ramen
noodles.
My diet
you did
a,
well.
As a barn manager.
Taco Bell. Taco Bell is always my friend. The $59.79 meal plan.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, remember that commercial, $59.79? And then I'm like, ooh, I can upgrade and really go expensive and get a green burrito for 99 cents. It was crazy.
Eating good tonight.
You guys were rich. You weren't eating ramen noodle. So, I mean, you were rich. You guys did
well. Because we're too lazy to cook it. We're horse people.
Right.
Boil water?
That's a good
what
article.
Does that mean? Yeah.
People should, if you think about going into business, you should take a look at that because there are some good points in there. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know what we did, Leslie, you talked about charging enough. What I have done in my neighborhood is, you know, there's several places that teach lessons here and there, you know, all these people with these little farms. And I've actually gotten together with all of them, and we, you know, I teach English and jumping, and then another person teaches Western, another person does, you know, whatever sport they do. We all refer to each other, and we all keep our prices the same. So there's not one person that's undercutting another one. So, you know, talk to the people around you and see what they're charging, and you know you don't want to undercut anybody because you'll piss them off, but you don't want to overcharge for, you know, if you're, you know, James Atkinson, yes, you can charge more, but Tammy Smith can charge more, but Jamie Jennings can't charge more because I'm not that kind of rider. So you have to be, you know, kind of in line with what's going on for the beginners in your neighborhood. So definitely charge enough, but don't undercut and don't overcut. What?
You know what struck me about that is that you all get along that well to do that, because that's not usually the case.
Yeah,
you know, Glenn, I don't want to say I know them, okay? we just try to run a business. All of us are just trying to get the same thing accomplished. But we all see each other at the local little feed store, so we all get to know each other. And I've actually become friends with the Western girl, and she's referred me some English people. And anybody that pulls over going, you teach Western? I'm like, I'm going to give you a phone number. So we do that. But I don't say that we, like, you know, hang out and have wine. It's nothing like that.
That's great.
You had
that's
another
that's
one.
Teamwork.
You had another one, too. I know Jamie saw this one. 10 things you know you miss about being a barn rat. And Jamie, you were a barn rat, weren't you? I know Jennifer.
Oh,
was.
Yeah. Little Creek
yeah.
Farm.
So Leslie,
in
were you?
Decatur, Georgia.
Were you What's a barn that? Rat, Leslie? Were you a barn rat?
Oh, man. My parents just, I mean, every day during the summer just dropped me off at the barn first thing in the morning and picked me up at sundown.
Leslie, I did the, and maybe you did too, and I'm sure Jennifer did. I was the weekend feeder, so I would feed at 5 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday morning. They're like, sucker, 13-year-old girl, come on and feed. But then I was also the weekend night feeder who fed at 5 p.m., and I stayed there all day. I don't know what I did.
They would drop me off. I'd feed at 5, and then I'd feed at 5 again. And somehow in the middle of the day, I would do something, nothing productive, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably nothing productive, for sure. Yeah, I mean, and at worst, you know, troublemaking or dangerous. I don't know how I got through that those years alive. I mean, I just think back to some the stupid stuff we do, you know, just like always bareback, right? playing games like, you know, just making a jump bigger and bigger and bigger. Of course, you're bareback until, you know, you fall
until
off
you
or
fall off.
Stops.
Did you do
that's
the
a great game?
Yeah, we did the bareback, either freeze tag or hide and go seek. And I mean, haul ass around that pasture, and nobody ever said a word to us. Like, hey, that's dangerous. No helmets. They didn't even like really have helmets back then, you know. And oh my gosh, you know what's cool though is you make those friends that you had at the barn forever. And I lost touch with all of them because we all, you know, went off to college and went different places. I am friends with all of my barn rat friends on Facebook.
Yeah. I am too. This is some of my longest relationships.
Yeah.
I love this one. Courtney posted it on your page. She said, my barn rat friends and I started a horseback riding kazoo band. We made up T-shirts and rode around playing songs on the kazoo. Our riding instructor so graciously tried to his best to help us choreograph our ride to the kazoo music. Oh, man. Can you imagine if you
That's
were a neighbor
adorable.
Of that barn?
Or you're one of the people who you are now, which would you now, if you, those of us went to the barn and saw a bunch of girls riding around playing kazoos, it would drive us crazy. I'd be like, quit.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
And here's another one that's so true. Hay didn't seem to itch when you were a kid. That is so true. You climbed around in the hay loft and it didn't itch at all. Why is
that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, I've had a lot of good posts. Here, before you go, though, Leslie, did you hear earlier we were talking about the attacks by mountain lions in Nebraska?
Yes.
We were talking about that.
Yeah.
Isn't that bizarre?
That's terrifying.
Well, Jody, and then I said, you know, and then earlier we were talking about a horse was stuck in a pond in Florida, and I said, well, that's something you really have to be aware of because we have alligators. Then Jody, our listener, posted this on our Facebook page. Speaking of horse, you guys have to be ready for this one. Speaking of horse disasters, a friend in Louisiana told me that she heard a neighbor yelling for help. A foal had gone into the pond to drink, and a gator had grabbed it by the head and peeled the skin down the face. The vet came out and sewed him back up. The neighbor said she had been warning the horse owner that there was a gator in her pond and she needed to get rid of it. I bet he will now. Thanks to my friend, or thankfully my friend's minis aren't in that pasture. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I think if there was a gator in the pasture of my horses, I would have gotten rid of it. I would have called gator removal, 1-800-GATOR-REMOVAL, and had him come out and take it out. I think I would have had that done. I just thought I'd leave you with that note.
Oh, man. More things to keep us awake at night.
There you go, Leslie. The strange things that have attacked horses. The next post with pictures. I can see it coming now.
Oh, man.
Oh. Well, that's about it, Leslie. It's horsenation.com. If you want to check out all of her different posts, you'll find them over there. Lots of good stuff. I love when you do the list, though. And you're getting more and more contributors, too. That's really good. That's really nice. It helps you out a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, terrific.
Great stable of writers.
Thank you, Leslie. Talk to you again soon.
Okay. Have a great week.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to take a break for our song of the day, a little Templeton Thompson, Something with Wings, right after this word from the Horse Radio Network.
Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally.
and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022, or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Bad situation. So far in, I can't find my way out. Seems I've gone from bad to worse to desperation. And I prayed as hard as I can pray. I know help is on the way, but I'm in a dive and falling fast. Is it too much to ask?
Well, that was Something with Wings by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. And we are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific
yourselves.
All that. Okay.
I gotta go get the baby. Be right back.
You can find all of their terrific all-natural products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And it looks like baby Luke is going to be in the co-host chair as well.
That's right. He helps out on a regular basis.
Yes, he does.
Hey, I'm going to give a holler to our next guest, a while, Glenn. Why don't you tell everybody about this art display that you found, that article there. That was kind of cool.
I don't know anything. Actually, Jamie found that. I don't know anything about it. But I will talk about the Great Meadows over the weekend. The United States eventing team had a sort of a practice run at Great Meadows in Virginia. Great Meadows is a neat facility that has not been used for eventing for a very long time. They had to go out and rebuild some of the cross-country jumps and things like that. But 14 riders set out in David O'Connor's cross-country course over the weekend, and it was basically a prep run for the World Equestrian Games. They had about 4,000 spectators that came out to cheer on Team USA and Team Canada. And Buck Davidson with Ballynoe Castle, it was the fastest on cross-country and did very well. Philip Dutton on Mighty Nice actually won the whole thing. So there were Boyd Martin was out there. He had a steady, slow round, but he did well as well. The Canadians all did very well and were all kind of bunched up on the leaderboard. So it looks like they all had a good run in preparation for the World Equestrian Games coming up here just a month away now. So they're hoping that at this facility at Great Meadows, which is supposed to be a beautiful place, I've never been there, I used to do shows there years ago, they're hoping to make that into a world-class facility. And actually, I guess the hope is someday to do a four-star there. And it apparently has the facilities to do that. So, you know, we'll hope that that is something that can happen and that we can end up with another four-star here in the United States at some point. We'll be looking forward to following all of that. As well as we come down to WEG time, we'll be getting more reports from our WEG reporters. I know some of our listeners are heading over to the World Equestrian Games and have offered to join in and do some reporting from the World Equestrian Games coming up in France in a month. So we're hoping to get some live reports there from some of our listeners and some of the reporters that are over there as well. A couple of things. Wednesday, of course, we'll be back with the Celebrity Trivia, the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. We'll be back here on Wednesday. And so if you we failed to mention this. If you want to play sometime on the Celebrity Trivia Challenge, just go to horsesinthemorning.com. There's a banner in the middle of the page. Click on the banner, and you can sign up. There's only like four questions. It'll take you no time at all to sign up. And we'll get you into play, and you have a chance of winning prizes, having a little fun with us on a Wednesday, you know, something that we would enjoy having you join us for that, for the Celebrity Trivia Challenge on Wednesdays. And, of course, get your ads in there, Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for really bad ads for Friday. And we had some great ones last week, so be sure to get your ads in to right now. Start looking. Get on Craigslist. And put really bad ads in the subject line, copy and paste the entire ad into the email.
Well, Glenn,
Jennifer, back.
I think our first guest is, our next guest is ready if you want to take her. Beth Kaufman is a friend of mine through eventing, and she and her daughter and I have evented together. And being that I've kind of been out of the game for a while, I've been not really paying attention to what's been going on. And Beth posted on Facebook, Madison, her daughter, is on the flight to go to the Mongol Derby. And I was like, what? What? How could she? Okay. So I said, Bev, we have to talk to Madison. Well, she's in Mongolia, so she can't talk right now. So I said, next best thing, we're going to get her mom on to talk about the pitfalls of having a daughter riding in the most grueling ride in the entire world. Good morning, Bev.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're fantastic. Thanks for joining us on such short notice. But I saw over the weekend that your daughter, Madison, is on her way to go to the Mongol Derby. And I talked to you on Saturday, but I told you don't say anything about it. I want to just ask you about it on the show. First of all, tell us a little bit about Madison for those who don't know her.
Madison is She's like 28, but she's been riding since she was around 8 years old. And she's done a lot of hunter jumper, and now she's been doing eventing and raising her own horses the last few years. So she's an adventurer in the fact that she loves to travel and ride and do all those things. So she's been working towards this for 9 months. They've been working, training to get ready for this now.
Now, Glenn, when she says Madison's an inventor and raises her own babies, they actually do all the breeding and Madison does all the training and everything. And you know how you guys said that you used to make fun of me for riding Jet and being that girl, the one that's like horses bucking and running around like crazy when he was still really green? Well, Madison has also been that girl. She's very familiar with starting a young horse at a recognized horse trial, and she has also been that girl. And that's why I think I liked her from the beginning, because she is a scrappy rider. But she, how, obviously I haven't talked to you guys in forever. She's been training for 9 months.
Right. They registered for the race approximately 9 months ago. And then they have a, you know, the past riders help them online. So different riders from all over the world. And they get together online and they email the riders and help them plan and be prepared so that nobody gets out there not knowing exactly what they're getting into.
So what is she getting into?
Well, the race is 1,000 kilometers. It starts on, I think it runs the 3rd through the 16th of August before everyone will be back into Ubulatar. And they map their own way. They have one Russian paper map that they get, and then they get a GPS tracker. So they'll have 3 days of training before they head out on how to monitor illness for yourself and your horses and manage your tracker, hobble horses, things like that they'll work on for the first 3 days prior to the race.
The first thing I thought when you said she was going was, what horse is she taking? But I forgot. They actually ride the Mongol horses.
Yes. Yeah, so each rider has approximately 25 Mongol horses to get them across the 1,000 kilometers. So there's a little over 1,000 ponies, and then you draw that pony, or you can choose a pony, first thing in the, every morning and at each stop. So they have three fresh horses. Or wait, three wild ponies every day.
Yeah.
They get on and go. And it's all timed, so you can only race so many hours to ensure the safety of the horses. But you can ride it if that means you're riding into the at night. You can camp out on your own, too. Hobble your horse and sleep on the ground there.
Now, we had the opportunity and kind of became friends with her, Laura Pryor Palmer out of England was last year's winner, and she's also a young eventer. And we had her on the show a couple times after, and she was a lot of fun and funny. And she told us some of the stories out from her ride. I mean, she had gotten bucked off and hurt herself. But the biggest thing, and I want to know if she was training for this, the biggest thing that they had trouble with, almost all of them that were out there, was getting sick from drinking the water and eating the food. So has she been practicing eating goat out of a big bowl in the middle of the tent?
Yes, she has been practicing. Both her and the girl she's riding with, Lisa Youngworth out of Colorado, they have been, they're both adventurous as far as food goes. So in addition to normally...
That's a good thing.
Interesting things, trying, you know, different restaurants with different food. They've eaten a lot of mutton and fermented milks and, you know, extremely aged cheeses. A few things like that they've been practicing on.
Yeah.
And they've already started, they went there a week early, so they have 10 full days, and they've already been there. She texted me this morning. I forget what, we do have a connection now as of this morning with her. And they've been eating off mutton off the food carts and things like that to sort of strengthen their stomach, you know. But definitely
you Jamie,
need to
you
get
couldn't
them
do this.
Food goes.
You could nope. not do this, Jamie. You're a vegetarian. You would starve to death while you were
I would be like, specifically said, no, you cannot be a vegetarian on this trip without
I'd be like, do you guys have any more dirt? because that was delicious. Thanks. I'll have some more.
I guarantee you they've never heard of tofu and would laugh when you told them what it was.
Yeah. What? It's a plant? We don't eat those.
Well, now I got to ask you, Bev, are you a little nervous for your daughter? Are you, you know, I didn't realize she's a tough cookie or she wouldn't be doing this. And everybody that goes over and does this race are tough cookies. But are you a little nervous?
I am. I just want to, and I was really nervous because we didn't have any way to keep in touch with them until this morning. So really only been a couple of days that they've been completely traveling and haven't been able to catch up with us. But they're going to have a, at the stops, there'll be some solar panels and things set up where they can actually vlog out from the meeting point. So they'll have 3 points a day that they can stop and they can vlog out. So that'll be good because we can kind of follow them. We won't be able to talk back to them or text them, but at least we'll know if they're okay or not. And they have a crew, you know, that follows the group. So they're not visible to any of the riders, but if the riders come off and their GPS stops tracking or they push the emergency button on their GPS, then they will come find them and help them. So, I think everybody, I would assume everybody has, like, really been preparing for this that's on the race, and now it's a matter of, you know, luck because everybody draws a different horse. So just what horse they get and, you know, that they all, the horse makes it as well and they don't step in a hole or anything like that because that seems to be some problem they run across.
Now, he asked you, Bev, if you were nervous. Now, I happen to know that Glenn, I guarantee she's not nervous because her son has given her enough gray hair. Because tell everybody what your son did before got hurt.
Yeah, one of my boys raced professional motocross for years he was younger. Well, he was a young boy, so...
Bev, we always talk about how many bones you break if you're a horse person. There's only one sport where you break more bones than being a horse person, and that's motocross.
That's
the
true.
Other sport.
That's
yes.
The first sport I went to were helicopters on standby, you know. Sort of scary.
Oh, that's terrible. So Madison's been training for this for 9 months. She's been eating deathly, disgusting, poisonous foods, and she is going to draw a horse every single day. Now, you said she went with somebody. Are they trying to ride the whole thing together? Are they going to separate and try to beat the other one? What's their game plan?
Their game plan is they're going to try to stay together as much as possible. Madison is the more experienced rider, although Lita is a fabulous rider. Of course, you want to be if you're going to be there. But Lita has more of the outdoor experience. So she's been training Madison on how to survive out there on your own and use all the gear because, you know, everything is small, but it's so technical. The GPS trackers, they'll work on that again before they go out, but also they have... You know, just how to survive out there. So they have Steripens, and I believe that's what they're called, and you use this pen to drink anything you have to. So if they had to, they could drink out of the lake there. And, you know, I think they're $100 for this little pen, and it'll last them quite a while to use for the trip. So that helps with their water.
What if you're, like, so thirsty and there's no water? Do you, like, stuff the pen into your horse's jugular vein and, like, drink in their jugular veins? Like, what?
No, you're thirsty. I mean, you have a camelback. They'll have a camelback, and then the route's planned so that throughout the day there's water available for the horses as you go across. So there'll always be water within a day's ride, you know, of them. But the other thing I was thinking of, too, when they were all practicing for their eating, The one thing that Madison could not get down was tripe.
I can see why.
When it was served this one, it was not cut in tiny pieces. It was sort of a big piece. It was pretty
good.
Now, what
I got to tell you, too.
The vegetarian, what is it?
You don't want to know.
Yeah,
you don't want to know. Does she want to know? She doesn't want to know, does she, Bev?
Just tell me. I want to know.
It's been tested. It's the intestines, I believe.
Yes, it is. It's
yeah, it's all curly and interesting looking. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't want to know, Jamie. You wouldn't eat it. So now,
Garros.
So now, let me say this. One of the things that Laura Pryor Palmer, last year's winner, said, and I want to know if she's been practicing this, is she was so happy after what she was out for, what, 6 or 7 days. She was so happy to finally get a shower and to be able to bathe. Now, has she been practicing not bathing for a week or 10 days at a time?
Actually, they did a lot of practicing, and not so much that, but they did go, I think, 3 or 4 days just to get an idea of it, because they did some trips here the early spring. I think they rode 6 days straight, slept on the ground, and we don't have the horses that can here that can do the trails like that, so they would come back in every 3 or 4 hours and jump on a different horse. So we had 6 horses per girl lined up, and then they just rode those all day long. And then they've also done it in Colorado. They did it, and they camped out. I think they did 3 or 4 days where they didn't come back in. And they slept in there, just only had their gear with them that they needed. And then they rode, wasn't able to get all the names before they left, but there are several breeders there that raise endurance horses, and their Teva Cup qualified a couple of the horses that the girls got to ride. And so they would ride all day long on these horses. And get a lot of practice in that way. So they got some really good experience in all those things.
Now, can she take, she can take a pack, like some of the stuff, and in her pack, does she have the anti-monkey butt powder?
yes, they have body glide, and their pack can only be, it comes out to about 11 pounds. That's all they can carry with them for this entire
trip. That's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. So they have a little pack of, you know, shower wipes. And then I was able to find, like, a little tiny bottle, like a 1 ounce bottle of shampoo. So they'll have one chance to wash their hair on the trip. It's waterless, so they don't have to use water or anything. Sort of interesting.
So
they have fishing vests on, and then they have with all the pockets so they can pack their stuff on the outside. Because they won't, once you're on the horse, you can't really get on and off very well because they're fairly wild. They have to be, you know, wrangled down to get the rider on them.
That's what Laura said, that, you know, it's the reason she had the issue the one day. I think it was the day before the final leg. She had gotten bucked off, and she said, you know, some of these horses were great, and some of them weren't. Some of them, your day was the longest day she's ever had in her life riding some of these horses. They're broke, sort of, right? I mean, they're not necessarily, you know, they're not world champion dressage horses that they're riding over there.
No, and they're just lightly broken, basically. So they, one of the things we did see is when they're starting those horses, at the very beginning, you know, they're all wild. They live with their herdsmen's own horses, and one of their favorite sports is horse racing. So they get out, jump on, and ride them, and they'll take the little kids and put them on the baby horses, and it's sort of how they get the horse used to having a person on them while they're tiny. And then they don't touch them again until they're bigger. Like, they round them all up a couple months before the race and make sure they have healthy horses, things like that, but they don't spend a lot of time on them.
I wanted to mention, too, before we wrap here, you can actually, their website's pretty good. It's theadventurists.com. Jennifer will put a link on our Facebook in the show notes. But you can see who all the riders are, and there's riders from all over the world that are doing it. A lot more girls this year than I had seen in the past. Used to be almost all males that did this, and this year there's a ton of girls, about half and half, I would say. The one thing I wanted to mention is that because they all have GPSs, they have on their website, you'll be able to track the riders. So you'll be able to follow along on a Google map, basically, where they'll have the markers for all the different riders, and you'll be able to follow them across the steppes of Mongolia. So I'm sure you'll be on there every hour of every day tracking her progress.
Yeah, I guess they will upload the tracking about, I think, somewhere around it, that says 6 times a day to update the tracker. So, or it sends a signal up, and that will be able to track that online. I know Madison's tracker isn't on yet for some reason, so they'll be working on that this week too. But I think most of the other riders are up and on. And I did see that there, it'll be interesting because there's five riders that are from, they're troopers from the Queen of England's guard that are riding
as
five men from that. So that was really interesting. And
then there's Madison.
So the girls have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, you mentioned the thing, we brushed past it, but you mentioned the thing that they can't wash their hair and that they have waterless shampoo and all this stuff they have to use. Now, Madison has gone ahead of very long, beautiful brown hair. Did she chop it off before she went?
She did not, but she did dye it blonde. But the girlfriend she's going with is blonde too, and apparently rumor has it that the Mongolians don't see very many blonde people, especially blonde women. So they're very interested in them, and they'll be favorable horses if she had blonde hair.
Oh, that's funny. Blondes have no fun. I was thinking she's interesting to the Mongol. She's trying to pick up a Mongol or something. Like, hey, little man, get in my backpack. Let's go. Let's ride. That's what I was thinking. So it's actually a benefit to the horses if she's an attractive blonde.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know,
the girls can pick their own. You have an option of choosing your own horses or the herdsman, whoever's pulling the horses that day will help you choose one. So they've done it all different ways. And one of the girls that came in, one of the top two riders last year, I'm not sure if it was which one, they just let the herdsmen pick their horses. So, I mean, they know the horses. If they're going to be, you know, if they like you and you're nice to them, maybe they'll pick you a good horse. You never know. So.
Well, please, will you please send me a picture? I don't know if you got one of her with the blonde hair, and I want to post it on our Facebook page for Horses in the Morning. Bev, I can't thank you enough for joining us. This is so exciting, and of course, we have to talk to Madison when she gets back. And if you want to check in with us at some point, if anything happens, please keep us updated, okay?
Okay, I will do that. I'll try to get you. I'll send you some Facebook stuff, but you'll have it online, too. You'll be able to see.
Okay, perfect. Well, I can't imagine. Well, I just see Maddie out there doing it. I'm so excited for her. But it's going to be the adventure of a lifetime for sure. It's going to change her forever. So congratulations to her. And awesome job for you for being like the super supportive mom. Like, go to Mongolia. Have fun. Don't die.
I just told her, you know, when trips like that and things come up, in, you know, just in general, you're going to get asked or invited to do this one time. So
yeah,
get on the boat, you know.
Take advantage of it.
That's how she gets to do all the stuff she's been doing, you know. Take that opportunity to go when it comes up. Doesn't come around again, usually. Big stuff.
Aren't you a cool mom? Good for you.
Yeah, she's a cool
mom. Yeah, and that's how, you know, she's got to do lots of exciting things. And just go and be prepared and worry about it when you get back. Everything's still here, so.
When I went to Spain, remember when I was pre-baby trip to Spain, Bev and Madison were there like the day I left. The day that I got there, they left. So they've been all over the world, and that's how they live their life. And I'm so jealous, and I'm glad to know you guys. And I wish Madison the best of luck. Please keep us posted.
I will, Jamie. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, girl. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right.
Hey,
cool,
you know,
mom.
Worst case scenario, Emil is on the trip, and Emil is from Luxembourg, and he's an anesthesiologist. So if worst case scenario things get too bad, he can put them all to sleep. So
yeah.
We're in good shape here.
Chokehold.
I'm looking at the list. You would think all of these people would be like professional riders and stuff like that. We have anesthesiologists. We have consultants, insurance agents. We have, as she said, the troopers from the Household Cavalry. What's kind of disturbing about Luke from the Household Cavalry is his picture is his in a neck brace from a previous accident. So
oh my God.
That's his picture. We have rider trainers. We do have a couple of those. Forest Ranger. We have a Forest Ranger from Sweden. We have a TV movie director and an ex-fighter called Moose. So there you go. Moose is on the trip. A charity director. I mean, there's all kinds of people on this trip. Something else.
What does it say Madison is? Because Madison's job is a preschool teacher. So you throw that into it.
It says horse owner riding instructor. They went with riding instructor for that one.
Okay, yeah, she is a preschool teacher because she rides before and after preschool. So just think of, like, this super sweet, beautiful, young 27-year-old girl out there on the steppes of Mongolia that is just the coolest thing.
James is from Australia. He's a horse breaker. He breaks horses. That's, of course, that's what they would call him in Australia, a horse breaker.
That's true.
Yeah, and a lot of good-looking guys from the cavalry. Let's see him right here. Aerospace engineer. Rose is an aerospace engineer from America, 32 years old.
So if he wins, that means the Mongol Derby really is rocket science.
That's the line of the day. We're just going to close the show with that.
There we go. Hit the
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back. We're always here Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern with a show of some sort. Jamie will be back on Wednesday for Celebrity Trivia. Thanks, Jamie. Say hi to baby Luke for us.
He's in here with me. He's saying hello.
All right. Take care. Have a great day, everybody.
Baden-Duder Geld, everybody. Have a great one.
Bye.